Indeed.com.
I know it's an early morning. Okay, actually, it's right on time, but you know, it feels like an early morning. But glad you're with us this morning as we're continuing in the Jesus and Our Mental Health series. According to the World Health Organization, anxiety is considered the number one health disorder worldwide. Okay, the National Alliance on Mental Illness in the U.S. says 19% of the adults in the U.S. have what is characterized as an anxiety disorder. And by disorder, they mean a chronic, severe condition that causes excessive, uncontrollable fear and anxiety, often interfering with daily life. Right? A chronic, severe condition that causes excessive, uncontrollable fear and anxiety, often interfering with daily life. Just about one out of every five people. In our church survey that we did, this is where the most people had the most intense experiences in the past in their life with the issue of anxiety. Not one person who took the survey answered zero, like it was not relevant or significant. 85% of the answers were like three or higher. Okay, so like a 3, 4, or a 5. So in this topic this morning, we probably all can relate. If there's a definition that I heard that I liked in explaining anxiety, because there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, but anxiety is worry over perceived potential trouble. Okay? Anxiety is worry over perceived potential trouble. That's very different than fear, right? Fear comes when an obvious and immediate threat appears. It's something that is likely to cause someone harm, right? Fear, I've used this example before, but fear is when you're out for a walk in the woods and you cross paths with a bear, right? The bear is a threat, clear and obvious. It's real and it's right there right now. Anxiety, described as perceived potential trouble, anxiety, we often find ourselves worrying about possible threats, even though it's something that has not ever happened to us and maybe never will. If fear is what you experience when a bear crosses your path in the woods, then anxiety would be worrying that if you go for a walk, it might happen. Fear generally has a reason for it. Anxiety doesn't need one. Anxiety doesn't need one. Now, we all experience anxiety to varying degrees at times in our lives. For some people, it's like a low-key hum of worry that just runs underneath everything you do in life. For others, it can feel overwhelming, even paralyzing, because it's pretty intense. And I would say this, that even if anxiety hasn't made itself at home in you, it probably stops by to visit once in a while, right? We all kind of experience this. But in general, when we look at the scriptures, God doesn't want us to live that way. He doesn't want us to live with anxiety. Two passages that talk about anxiety that we'll touch on today. The first one is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. This is Jesus speaking, and this is what he has to say. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All right, so Jesus uses the Greek verb, the Greek word merimnao, and it's what we translate anxious, and it's used six different times in this passage. Six different times. And the root word of this particular word means to be divided into pieces, right? It's like a picture of being pulled in different directions. It's a pretty good description of what's going on when we're anxious, right? The focus here is on anxiety over earthly things, right? Clothing, food, the future. And Jesus says, don't be anxious about those things. All right, so that's the first passage. Here's the second. It's much shorter than the first. It's two verses. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, same word for anxiety, slightly different instruction, right? This time, Scripture says, don't be anxious about anything, anything. Now, a more direct word-for-word translation of that phrase, don't be anxious for anything, would be this. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And that Greek word nothing, like, really means nothing. Like, no one, nothing, not at all, and not even a little. That's the idea. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I'm sure that some of us, maybe even most of us, would hear these words from Scripture and respond something like this. Well, don't you think I would stop being anxious if I could? Right? It's like telling a person who's wound up, upset, and agitated to just calm down. Right? That never works. It's about the worst thing it feels like you could do in that moment. And in some ways, you hear these passages and you think they have the same tone to them. Like you're telling an anxious person, just don't be anxious. Right? At least at first glance. That wouldn't seem very helpful. But as I was just kind of working through this passage and had some thoughts about this, there are a couple things that kind of come to mind as I hear them, which I hope will be helpful for you. And so about these passages particularly, there are three things that I want to point out. First of all, when God tells us not to be anxious, he gives us a reason not to. Right? When God tells us not to be anxious, he gives us a reason not to. So the first passage says we shouldn't be anxious about earthly things like what we'll eat, drink, or wear, and don't be worried about the future because we can be confident God will take care of us. Right? Don't be anxious. He gives us a reason not to. We can be confident God will take care of us. And he describes that, right? Look at how he cares for the birds and the flowers. I mean, does he not care so much more about you? Right? God knows what you need and will take care of you. The second passage says, don't be anxious about anything because we can pray. And it leads us to the presence and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Right? So he doesn't just tell us, don't be anxious, but he also gives us a reason not to. And I think that's the first thing that comes to mind when I hear these passages, read these passages. The second thing is this. When God tells us not to be anxious, he gives us something else to focus on. Right? He gives us something else to put our focus on. Don't be anxious about earthly things. They aren't the point of life. He is. right? If you're more concerned about your earthly treasures, your toys, your retirement account, your belongings, possessions, that sort of stuff, than you are about God's work in the here and now, your focus is on the wrong thing. And he's saying, put it on the right thing. Put your focus on serving him. When he says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, or don't be anxious about the future, is in essence what he's saying. We have this eternal future beyond this life. We know this, yet we're consumed with this life instead of the one beyond this life. And Jesus says we should be seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. In other words, his purposes, right? Here and now, seek that. Seek him first and foremost. Put your focus there. When he says, don't be anxious for anything, and instead pray, right? He gives us something else to focus on. It's far more productive to pray than to be anxious anyway, right? Because we are putting things in the hands of the one who can really do something about it. So rather than just worry and be anxious, he says pray, right? Put your focus there. So I think that's the second thing, is that when God tells us don't be anxious, not to be anxious, he gives us something else to focus on. And the third thing about these passages is this. When God tells us not to be anxious, he's also giving us an invitation to trust him. He's giving us an invitation to trust him. And this is kind of implied throughout all these verses, right? Trust that he'll provide what you need. Trust that he'll be enough tomorrow. Trust that he'll be enough in anything, right? He will give us what we need. He will take care of us. He will give us his peace, right? And the thing is if there's one area of mental health, I mean, they all do, but that requires a certain degree of just trusting in the Lord, it seems like anxiety is the one, right? I mean, we need to trust him in all of it, but in this one, it's super important. Anxiety, by nature, is worrying. And maybe the opposite of worrying is trust, right? And God says, don't be anxious, but pray, seek me, follow me, look to me. It's like he's saying, leave this to me. I've got this, and I've got you. Right? So when God tells us not to be anxious, he gives us an invitation to trust him. Right? So those are three things from this passage that I just, as I read through them and they talk about anxious or being anxious or anxiety, that I felt like, look, these are things I think we want to see when God tells us don't be anxious. There's some more things that I want to share about anxiety this morning. And some of them are going to come from some different sources, right? We've got scripture that we're diving into. There's also resources that can help us with that. So this is going to be maybe feeling like a little bit listy this morning. And that's okay. I do want to tell you that some of the things that I'm going to share are mentioned on the resource page, which we've been mentioning each week. We've added the links to that. So if you don't want to write everything down, that's okay. There's an opportunity to find them there. But here are some other things that I just felt like God was putting on my heart to share this morning about anxiety. Okay? The first short list is three things to help battle an anxious heart. Three things to help battle an anxious heart. And we've actually talked about this before in a previous series. But here's the first thing. Stay focused on living in the moment. Stay focused on living in the moment. Right? Because it's a lot harder to be anxious about what could happen if you're like 100% in on what is happening. It's hard to be anxious about where you'll get your earthly things when your focus is on the kingdom of God. Right? It's hard to be anxious about tomorrow if you're focused on today. If you're focused on what's right in front of you, instead of being focused on the what-ifs of life, your anxiety level is probably going to drop considerably. right? Just because of where your focus is. So first of all, stay focused on living in the moment. Second of all, and by the way, there's going to be some crossover in all of these lists, and maybe that says something when you hear something more than once. Maybe that speaks to you. But the second thing is this, pray about everything, right? Pray about everything. Rather than worry, pray. It's far more productive. Pour out your heart to God. Offer it to Him in prayer. That's powerful. It not only puts things in His hands, which He is so much more capable of handling and dealing with our things we're anxious about than we are anyway, but it also gives us a chance to experience Him and His presence and His peace. It's no surprise to me that when we talked with different people about their experiences with mental health issues, the conversations I had, when I always asked, like, what have been the things that have been the most helpful, Scripture was one, and prayer. That was like the biggest. It was mentioned most commonly as something that really helped people here in our church community manage their mental health, and anxiety is no different. Prayer is a really big deal. The Philippians passage even told us that, right? It is through prayer. It's connection with God where we're going to find His peace. Okay, so pray about everything. And the third one is take thoughts captive to the mind of Christ. Right? And that's right from Scripture. We take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Oftentimes our anxious thoughts are not legitimate. Like, they just aren't true. They might have a bit of truth to them, but we know that the devil, the flesh, the world, right? These things have a way of twisting and distorting the truth in our minds, and it affects us in negative ways. We need to recognize that, right? So the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit will only speak what is true. And so we might not be able to stop an illegitimate thought or a sinful thought or an anxious thought from popping up in our minds, but we can choose to filter those thoughts through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And then when we see them for what they are, we can reject what is false and hold to what is true, right? So take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. So these three things to help battle an anxious heart: stay focused on living in the moment, pray about everything, and take thoughts captive to the mind of Christ. Okay? Here's a few quick things from some other sources, besides Scripture, besides my own thoughts here, that I think you might help find practical in dealing with issues of anxiety. And the first, the next list is from John Deloney. Been mentioning him all throughout the series. It's been a really helpful resource. We even put in the resource notes like, hey, anything by John Deloney is probably going to be helpful for you, so look that way for help. But in specifically this morning, he wrote a book called Building a Non-Anxious Life. If you're dealing with anxiety, that probably sounds like a really helpful book, right? And he listed in there six choices that we can make to help with that. And he mentions that anxiety, when we experience anxiety, it often signals that at least one, but maybe even more of these areas need some attention in our life. Okay, so six things that we need to choose. First of all, choose reality. Choose reality, right? Face the truth of your situation. Rather than living in some imagined future that we can be anxious about, come to terms with what is real, okay? Choose connection, right? We have to fight loneliness and anxiety by cultivating deep relationships and community. It helps our mental health. That's been proven to be true. We need that, right? So choose connection. Choose freedom. And what he meant by that is to, like, let go of things that are beyond your control. Right, there's no use in worrying about them if you can't do anything about them anyway. Right? So let them go and get yourself, like, free from the stronghold of that. So choose freedom. Choose health and healing. Like, sometimes we just need to prioritize physical or emotional well-being to allow ourselves, our minds, our bodies to, like, function properly. And you'll hear a few more ideas about that in a minute, but you may have to make some choices that help you take care of yourself and your mental health, right? So choose health and healing. The fifth thing is choose mindfulness. And this is about, mentioned already, focusing on the present moment rather than living in the past or catastrophizing about the future, right? Like, oh, it's going to be terrible, and we get worked up, and we only see the potentially worse outcomes, that sort of thing. It's hard to worry about the future or relive the past when you're keyed into the present, right? We kind of already talked about that. So choose mindfulness. Focus on the present moment. And the last one is choose belief. Choose belief. Anchor yourself in something, or in this case, we understand someone bigger than you. Right? And of course, in that context, we understand that's someone we should choose to believe and follow in, anchor ourselves in, is Jesus. Okay? So those six things: choose reality, choose connection, choose freedom, choose health and healing, choose mindfulness, and choose belief. Okay? Last list this morning. This is actually a list that I kind of work through that comes from Mayo Clinic, and it's just simply tips for coping with anxiety. Again, wanting to give as many practical things as we can about things that can help if we're struggling with anxiety, okay? So tips for coping with anxiety, again, the link is there, but here they are. First one, avoid alcohol and recreational drugs, right? Because those substances can cause or worsen anxiety. The second one, and if you need it, find a support system to help you deal with that, okay? Second one is eat healthy foods, and they point out that there are some indications that that a healthy diet that incorporates fruits, vegetables, grains, and fish, particularly, right, may be linked to reducing anxiety, all right? So what you eat makes a difference. Identifying triggers. And this is about learning what causes you stress or increases your anxiety, right? Like, maybe you need to minimize the exposure. Maybe you need to avoid it altogether. Maybe, but what they're mostly suggesting is that you prepare yourself for what you need to do when those triggers come into play, right? Rather than just avoiding, prepare yourself for what you need to do when those triggers might be hitting you, so to be ready for them, okay? Keep physically active, right? Develop a routine where you're physically active most days of the week. And they point out that exercise is a great stress reducer. It can improve your mood. It can improve your health. It can improve your mental health. So, and of course, with anything like this, start slowly, gradually increase the amount and intensity, right? So keep physically active. Learn about anxiety, right? You may need to talk to your healthcare provider to discover what might be causing or contributing to your specific situation and potentially what treatments might be best for you. The next one is make sleep a priority, right? Do what you can to ensure you're getting enough sleep to feel rested, right? If you aren't sleeping well, then that also may be something you need to talk with your healthcare professional about, okay? So that's the first part of the list. The second are these: quit smoking and minimize caffeinated beverages, right? Nicotine, caffeine, they can worsen anxiety, okay? So quit smoking, reduce or eliminate caffeinated beverages. Socialize, right? Community. Don't let worry isolate you from loved ones and social activities. Mental health is generally improved when we are doing life within established relationships, not isolated from them. Okay, so share your struggles with others. Involve family and friends. Ask for support. Be in community. It's why we continue here to try to encourage that opportunity to connect after church and in small groups and things like that, all right? So community, or socialize, or community. Stick to your treatment plan. And I think this is probably true with anything that we know is needed in our life. Take your medications as directed. Keep your therapy appointments. Keep your accountability appointments. Complete assignments you have from your counselor. Do those things, because the consistency makes a big difference in handling anxiety, okay? Use stress management and relaxation techniques. Now, of course, in this article, it mentions, you know, visualization, meditation, yoga, and maybe some parts of those practices can be helpful. We've already talked a little bit about what is also helpful: pray, right? Prayer. It's where we find real peace and experience God's presence. And the last one is write in a journal. Write in a journal. Again, when I had conversations with people from our church, prayer, scripture, that was listed and mentioned as something that was very helpful. Journaling was another, right? Because it just was, all right? Part of what it accomplishes is it gets our anxious thoughts out of our brains, things that are spinning in our minds, and puts them down on paper where we can take a look at it, right? We can look for the evidences of what is actually true and what is not, and we can then dismiss those things that are lies, that are not truths, that are flowing around inside of us, and then we can choose to confront reality head on, right? Like choose reality, like the John Delaney thing says. And this just helps us regain control. Okay, so that's a lot of stuff, a lot of lists, a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. I'm not guaranteeing, of course, that any one of these are going to be the thing that does the trick. But I think as we may be struggling, wrestling with, battling anxiety, whether it's occasional or regular, a lot of these things I find will probably be very helpful for us as we look to do that. However, as we kind of close this morning, if you're like most people, when you're struggling and see a list like this, it all of a sudden becomes this checklist of things to do. All right, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, and that will fix it. These are not formulas. They're not always going to be a guarantee. Just do these things. But the bigger issue is we often tend to do that and dive into it because it's something we can control. The danger is that we'll be tempted to try to fix things on our own strength and our own power. And that's not what I'm trying to suggest here. And so as we close, I want to just remind us to turn our hearts towards Christ in all of this. Like, he is the one who we should cast our cares upon and cast our worries upon and our anxieties upon and our fears upon. He invites us to do that in Scripture. It says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And so as I thought about how to really end this morning, we're going to end with some worship in a moment, but I came across a video that I want to use as the closing. And you've heard me mention him a number of times. Josh Wilson, Christian musician, did an album on mental health. It's called Mental Help. And it has to do with his battles with mental health issues. I once again want to make a recommendation to check that out. I think there's a lot of songs that will speak to you. They sometimes make our playlists that we've been putting together. But this is not a song. This is just an interview, a little bit of a thing, just about two and a half minutes or so. It said so much better from someone else who I feel like is wrestling with this than what I could have shared. So as we dive in, or as we close, I should say, this morning, I just encourage you to take a listen to this video, and then we'll close.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.